Fred Film Radio. Silent Film Festival, Pordenone, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 Giornate del Cinema Muto, and that is the Pordenone Silent Film Festival. And I'm very pleased to be joined by Alicia Zwiegels. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
Now, Alicia is a klezmer musician, composer, founding member, and former co-director of the Grammy Award-winning The Klezmatics. So, and you composed the music and performed it to this great film called The Yellow Ticket, which in the program is titled The Devil's Pawn, but we'll refer to it as The Yellow Ticket. I just have to specify because it might be confusing to some people. It was a film from 1918, directed by Victor Janssen. How would we introduce our listeners to this movie? What could we tell them about the story?
This is an amazing, rare movie that I fell into, in a way, when somebody sent me a DVD. It's a movie about a young Jewish woman in a Polish shtetl, or small city with a Jewish community in Poland, who wants to study medicine in St. Petersburg, but Jews were not allowed, because of restrictive anti-Semitic laws, Jews were not allowed to travel outside what was called the Pale of Settlement, which meant the provinces. And they weren't allowed to go into the big cities and try to make a living there unless they had, well, unless they were women with official paperwork stating that they were prostitutes. So it was a way of shaming people. And but she wanted to be a doctor, so she ends up leading a double life. And then the melodrama and the drama of the story unfolds from there.
I should also mention that it stars Paola Negri. It's one of a number of films that are presented here at the festival featuring Paola Negri. You mentioned that you got the DVD and you fell in love with the movie, but did you have any experience playing silent films or scoring silent films?
I did not. I was a total neophyte. I had never even thought about it before, but when I viewed the screener to see if I wanted to take on the project, I fell in love. And it looked to me like photos of my great-grandparents that we have that started moving and coming to life. And then also it happens that my very existence on Earth is, in a way, because of the practice of playing music for silent movies, because my grandfather was a pianist. He was a pianist, in fact, he played for Judy Garland and for Sid Caesar. And he, when he was a young man, he was the pianist for a movie theater, which is now a theater that I frequent to see stuff. Not a movie theater, but a concert venue, one block from where I live now. And he was playing for the movies, and in between movies, he went out to smoke a cigarette, and my teenage grandmother happened by, and that's how they met. Or maybe she was in the audience. I don't remember the exact story, but
what a lovely story.
I didn't have any preconceptions about what silent movie music should be. And I wasn't interested in trying to do something authentic, which, because I don't do that generally. Like, even, you know, with the Klezmatics and with klezmer, instead of trying to recreate something from the past, I would take it as material to do something authentic to me as an artist and to the audience now. So same thing with this movie. I didn't want the audience to feel like they were looking at something from the past, although there's a lot of pleasure in that as well. But what I wanted to do was draw them in so they felt like they were experiencing a real work of art in the present. So the music that I ended up writing draws on klezmer, on the idea, Bartok's idea of taking folk music and twisting it into more modern shapes, and other musical influences. But my aim was never to do it authentically. So the way I went about it was, I decided I wanted to create a kind of a language, a code almost, of leitmotifs. So I gave each person, emotion, concept, its own musical theme, and then I proceeded to develop those themes in a way that followed the unfolding of the story. to place them in contrapuntal relationship to each other, and basically overlay the film with the symbolism of the music. And some of it, you know, amounts in the end to like either a secret language that some people will get and, you know, not everybody, but there's also a feeling and an emotion. I mean, the main goal was emotion, but I also like the idea of playing with these symbols.
And dissonance sometimes as well, that's different from the actual image on the screen?
Yes. So sometimes I would reflect the emotions, or try, not so much reflect, but try to draw those emotions out of the audience, the viewers, because it's long enough ago that a viewer, you know, today won't naturally feel the shame that Paola Negri feels mm-hmm. around the mores of the time. You know, we live in a different time. So I tried to write a musical theme that would evoke a feeling of shame, which was tough.
Right. Yeah.
But sometimes, like you're saying, I would have the music act in an ironic relationship to the film. But I did that because, you know, the film meant to do that as well. That the film, I thought, means for the viewer to see things differently than the characters are seeing them, because the viewer knows more than the characters.
It's also, you know, the way in which music draws you into a film that was made almost 100 years ago. So it is important, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't want to distance the viewers more. I wanted to draw them in so they really, truly would feel the emotions despite the distance, the gap in the culture and the time and so forth, despite the strangeness of the clothing and the society, that the viewer would feel love along with Paola Negri, and the viewer would feel shame and fear along with her and so forth.
So what changes from, you know, the process of composing the score to when you actually have to perform it in front of a packed room, a screen room full of people like the Teatro Verdi the other night?
Well, the thing about the score is I also wrote it for my pianist, Marilyn Lerner.
That's right.
Who, you know, we're really musical partners in this. She's not an accompanist. She herself is an improviser. And I wrote the music to be open enough so she could stretch out in it and for us to be communicating with each other. And the performances are like snowflakes. They're different every single time because we play off of each other. We see new things in the film. It's like a trio between me, Marilyn, and film, and it just keeps changing. So it's not the kind of score that's scored, you know, exactly to each point, like it would be if it were an orchestra, because it has to be, or a recording. It's, you know, this improvisational event, and that's what's different every time.
Do you feel the audience, what the audience is feeling at the moment? Because I always wonder about that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a real-time experience where it's us and the audience and the film, and we're all in it together. And so it's we and the audience are communing with ghosts.
Yeah.
And we're doing it together. So I keep the audience in my mind and heart as I do it.
Yeah. Now that you've kind of embarked on this silent film scoring journey, do you see yourself continuing?
Yes, Pordenone has been amazing that way, because I've met all these interesting people. I've been doing this in a vacuum. I haven't been part of the film world, the silent film world. And here I've landed into the, you know, the dead center of it, swirling around me. And I've met people who have proposed projects. And I've wanted to, since I started this, do a series of them, because also I discovered I love playing in the dark with nobody looking at me. It's so much easier for an introvert. So it's so lovely. When you play a concert, you know, you're standing on the stage, you're talking, you're chatting with the audience, you know, by the end, like if you're a shy person by nature, you just want to collapse on the floor and stare at the ceiling.
Certainly a great experience, the screening of The Yellow Ticket. Thank you very much for talking with us about it.
Thank you, Matt.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.